Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
All right. Let's get into the Word today. If you have your Bible, stand to your feet with it in your hand. If you have an iPad, a phone, can you get your Bible on your Apple Watch? I don't know. That would be kind of hard to read. But whatever you are reading your Bible on today, we're going to be reading from the book of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. We're going to read verses 12 through 27 together. We always stand just out of respect and honor for the reading of the Word. Just like, you know, if someone were entering the room that was, you know, someone that you respected, you honored, you would stand up. I always try to make sure I don't shake people's hands sitting down. I try to always stand up just out of an order of respect. And we stand out of respect and honor for God's Word. And we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. And then I will explain to you what God has for the church today. So if you're reading, we have it on the screens. Here's what Paul says. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. You say, what is he talking about? He's talking about communion. If you go back into chapter 11, Paul is giving instruction regarding communion. We just took communion together and we all drank together into one Spirit. It's not as weird as it sounds. So verse 14 says, for in fact the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. That's why these two, yea, three that come up, we're rejoicing with them. Why? Because they're a part of the body of Christ. It's not just them going to do that. We are all members of one body. Verse 27 says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. Let's pray today. Father, I thank you for your word. I ask that as we look to it today, you'd give us clarity concerning what you want us to hear and know and understand. I thank you that there's power in these words, and let the power of God transform the way that we look and think and live and do everything that relates to our life. We give control of this time and this service to you. God, I yield my tongue, my heart, my soul, my spirit to you to be used to encourage and edify the body in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated today. Now, in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, there were many things that he needed to address. If you are familiar at all with the book of 1 Corinthians, you'll understand that Paul had traveled to Corinth. He'd planted a church there. And then he had spent some time with them, but after that time had come to an end, he went on and he began to minister other places and he began to plant other churches. But as he was away from the church there in Corinth, they began to kind of do like what we would say when the cat's away, the mice play, you know what I'm talking about? And so because Paul had left, they began to get into other things that were not beneficial for their walk with God. Not the way that God wanted them to live. Not the way that he set it up for them to act. In fact, there were Christians that were suing other Christians over. They were dragging one another into courts before secular judges to try to regulate disputes that they'd had amongst one another at church. They didn't understand how to have communion the way that we just did it today. There was sexual immorality. There was division. There were schisms. And so Paul writes this letter to them to try to bring some... Try to corral them a little bit and say, hey guys, we've got to get back to how God wants us to do life and how he wants us to be the body of Christ. And I want to talk to you about today the thought of wanted and needed. And it's my hope and it's my prayer that as you leave here today, that you would realize when it comes to the body of Christ, when it comes to being a part of the church, and when we talk about the church, we're not just talking about this physical building. We're talking about verse 27 where he says, you are the body of Christ. And when it comes to the body of Christ, when it comes to the church, when it comes to the Wellfort Payne and this community of believers that you've chosen to be a part of and to have unity with, I want you to know this, you're wanted and you're needed. When you show up here, we want you to be here and we need you to be here. So, you aren't just wanted. Why do I say you're not just wanted? You're wanted and needed. You're not just needed, but you're also wanted. Because we need to have the balance and the understanding of what both of these words mean and how they relate to how we are involved in the body of Christ. Because you aren't just wanted. Because sometimes when you're just wanted, you get this understanding that you want me here because I'm another warm body in a seat so that the church is bigger, so that it grows, so that it looks better and it feels better. No, you're not just wanted to be here to fill a role. You're needed to be here. There's a purpose for you being here, but you're also not just needed, because sometimes when you think I'm needed, but I'm not wanted, you end up feeling used. Yeah. You think I'm needed because I can do this or I can give this or I can be that. No, you're not just needed here. You're wanted here. Yeah. You're wanted and you're needed in the kingdom of God. And so I want you to get these two truths. Number one, you are wanted for who you are. If we don't understand this, we will begin to develop a wrong mindset and thought that I'm wanted for what I can do. No, you're needed for what you can do. You're wanted for who you are. Yeah. We want you to be here because of the person that God created you to be. Paul says, we are all members individually, but we make one body. Yeah. We're not all the same. We don't all look the same. We don't all talk the same. We didn't all grow up the same. And so we accept and applaud. We don't just accept it, because when you accept something, sometimes it can be like, well, I accept it because that's the way it is, but I don't really like it. We don't just accept who you are. We applaud who you are. We don't just go, okay, that's how God made you, and since that's how he made you, I'm going to have to accept it. No, we understand God made you in his image, and that means that when I get to know you, I get a better glimpse into the character of God. Think about that. When you're sitting down with somebody else that is a believer in Jesus Christ, someone that God created, as you look into them, the things that are different about them from you, you can learn to know God better because there's something in their character that he put that is a revelation of who he is. And so we don't just accept who you are, we applaud who God made you to be. Each person distinctively, individually. So you don't have to change your God-given destiny, calling, personality, who you are in order to fit in or in order to belong. We accept and we applaud that. We don't want you to be here in the church at the Well because you're talented or because you're successful, because you're generous, because you can do this, or because you can accomplish that we can't accomplish. No, we want you here not just so you can serve, not just so you can volunteer. We want you here because you were created in the image of God. And we can't be us unless there's you. We've got to embrace individuality. So don't buy into the lie that unity looks like uniformity. In fact, how good would worship sound today if all of us played the drums? Saxon did a great job. But if Saxon was on a drum set, Pastor Jeff was on a drum set, I was on a drum set, Zach was on a drum set, and Ari was over here, and we're all playing drums. Like, where would the melody be? Where would the low end be? Where would the high end be? Where would we know when to sing and what to sing? Because there would be no driving melody or music to it. It would just be rhythm. But thank God we had drums and we had guitar and we had bass and we had male vocal and we had female vocal. Because even those things are distinct and they're individual in nature, when they come together, they become something that can be beautiful and useful. And so we don't think that unity means uniformity. And so unity is actually formed out of diversity. That means learning to accept one another, no matter how different they are, no matter how strange they may seem to you at first glance. You ever meet someone, you're like, whew, they're weird. You know, like, they're different. There's probably something that you need to learn about their difference from you. Because I understand I'm not perfect. There's things about me that need to grow, that need to change. I need to embrace other people and the way that they see things and do things, because if I think that I'm the only one that's got it together, number one, then I'm operating in pride, but number two, I'm missing out on what God wants to use in their life to help fashion and form the body of Christ. So I refuse to be a part of a community that demands everyone look the same, dress the same, talk the same, and act the same. Why? Because that's not a church, that's a cult. Yeah. And I don't want to be a part of a cult. This is the body of Christ. And so here's what that means. If you can't accept someone for who God created them to be, you probably don't know Jesus as well as you think you do. I'm going to say that again. If you can't accept someone for who God created them to be, you probably don't know Jesus as well as you think you do. Because Jesus sees and knows that that person is precious in the eyes of God. So you're wanted not because of what you can do. You know, I don't know about you, but I've been wanted for what I can do before. We've all felt that, right? Oh, they only call me because they need this from me, not because they want to actually talk to me about my day, how life is going, what's up. No, you're not wanted for what you can do. You're wanted for who you are. We want you to be plugged in. We want you to be a part of the family, not just because you can fill a role, but because we need who you are. We want to know you better, and we can't be us without you. So you're wanted for you who you are, but you're also needed, and you're needed for what you can contribute. So we all want to be needed in life. There's something inside of each and every one of us that we want to be wanted and we want to be needed. But if we are needed without being wanted, then we'll feel used, like I referenced earlier. And so it feels good to be needed as long as you first know you're wanted. If you know you're wanted, then you're okay with being needed. But if you're only needed without being wanted, then you'll feel abused and used. And so I want to say to you today that you have specific skills, giftings, talents, abilities that God has placed inside of you that you can use and you should use for his glory. Some people have gotten so burned by the church or by, you know, organizations that they kind of keep the church at an arm's length. They're like, I'll come, but don't ask me to do anything. Every time the pastor says, hey, let's get lunch together, they think, what's he going to ask me to do? Right? Is he going to ask me to work in the nursery? He's going to ask me to clean the church. He's going to ask me to do this. He's going to ask me to do that. So that's why I start with saying, we want you for you. Is there stuff we need you to do? Absolutely. But that's not why we want you. That's not why God wants you. God wants you because he created you. He loves you. And you are destined and called to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ. But if you're going to be a part of the body, then you have to pull your weight. You have to do your part. Yeah. There are needs. The reality is we need you because you're gifted, you're called, you're appointed by God to make a difference. And there are things that you can do that I can't do. There are things that you can do that the person sitting next to you is not talented, gifted, educated to do. So you might not preach, You might not sing. You might not play an instrument. You might not be very good at working in the nursery, but that doesn't mean there's not something that you can do. It doesn't mean God didn't create you to be a part of the body of Christ. Listen, your purpose may be outside of this building, and that's okay, because we don't stop being the church when we walk out of these doors. But that doesn't mean that you're not important. It doesn't mean you're not wanted. It doesn't mean you're not needful to the body of Jesus Christ. So often we look at the church leadership and we're like, we need them. We need them. No, we need every single portion of believers to function and operate and truly be affected. So you're wanted and you're needed. Don't believe the lie, they only want me for what I can do for them. No, you're wanted for who you are. Don't slip into thought also, there's no need for me. Okay, they want me, but they don't really need me. They have people that can do this. They can have people that can do that. I don't play an instrument. I don't sing. I don't know how to lead people. I can't do that. No, you might think I'm not smart enough. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm not mature enough. I'm not talented enough. No, every single one of us has God-given abilities that need to be used. And trust me, you will not be fulfilled until you are using those abilities that God gave you. You'll always struggle with identity. You'll struggle with happiness. You'll be looking for something to fill that void. The happiest people are the people that have discovered, this is why God made me, and I'm going to do that with my life. And everybody has a gift. And so when you don't use that gift, you're unfulfilled. When you do use that gift, you get to step into a sense of feeling and belonging. And I want to show you this in 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 10 and 11. Because I know there's some people out there going, do I have a gift? Do I really? Do I really have talents? Do I really have abilities? Do I really have the opportunity to help others? Could I really be a beneficial part of this body? Yes, you can. Every single one of you. I don't care if you're 2 or 200. Every single person here has something that God wants to use that's needed in this house. 1 Peter 4:10 and 11. As each one, everybody say each one, has received a gift. Now, when you receive something, that means that you're open to accept it. Yeah. So God has given everybody a gift, but not everybody has openly accepted the gift that he's given. And that's why some of us are not walking in the giftings and the abilities that he's extended to us. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. That word minister just means serve. Serve one another with the gift that God gave you. What is your gift? What is your ability? What did he implant inside of you? As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. That in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong dominion and glory forever and ever. Amen. So what's Peter saying? He's saying, look, everybody got a gift, so use it. Don't hide it. Remember the parable of the talents? Now, talents is not like the talent, like an ability, but it was a form of currency that Jesus told us a parable about. And there was one that used the talents, there was two that used the talents that they got, and there was one, he went and hid it in the ground. He said, I was scared when the master came back. He said, I was afraid that I would lose it. I was afraid that I would waste it. And so I just kind of hid it in the ground. You know what the master said? You foolish and you wicked servant. How many of us that God has given you an ability and because it's like, well, I only got one. I can't use that one. I guess I'll just hide it because I'm embarrassed that I only got one. I'm embarrassed that I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a children's leader. I'm not a youth worker. No. If you hide it, you are robbing yourself, others, and God of you being used for his glory and for his honor. So if you hear me today, hear this. You have a gift from God. Remember what Peter said? Each one. He didn't say some of y'all received a gift. He said everybody got a gift. I believe that we would be so much stronger than we are right now if everybody used their gift. Everybody said, you know what? God has created me, he's called me, he's purposed me. To not believe in yourself is to not believe in God. Because God equipped you and called you. Now, I know that sounds funny. You say, believe in yourself? What do you mean believe in yourself? What I mean is to believe in what God has equipped you to do. Yeah. If you say, I don't really believe that I'm called, then you really don't believe in God, because God called you and appointed you. Have you ever heard of the 80-20 principle? No? Okay. Nobody? All right. Okay. Yes. Okay. Thank you. I was beginning to wonder if everyone was going to fall asleep this morning or not. The 80-20 principle is simply this. That means that 20% of people do 80% of the work. And it can apply to business, it can apply to home, it can apply to the nation, and it applies to churches a lot of times as well. The 80% of what gets done here happens by 20% of people. And that's not the kind of culture, that's not the kind of place that I believe God set up. That may be what man has accepted, that may be what man has allowed, but I believe that God wants 100% participation. And I'm not saying that to force you to do something. I want you to know this is an opportunity for you to use the giftings God gave you. It's not me saying you have to do it or you can't be a part. I'm telling you, we want you for who you are, but we need you for what you can contribute. And guess what? You need us because we give you an opportunity to contribute and to use the giftings and the callings and the abilities that God has placed on your life. But the issue is this. We face this so often, is that we don't like who we are, and so we don't understand why anybody else would either. When we look in the mirror, we're not really happy with what we see. We see failure. We see someone that's miserable. We see someone that is not talented, not gifted, and so we wonder, why would they want me? Why would they need me when I don't even want myself? I don't even like myself. But let me point your attention back to verse 18 of 1 Corinthians 12. I think I gave you that one, Shelley. But now God has set the members. That means, that word set means to place in a specific order. God has specifically set you and placed you for such a time as this. Each one of them, not just the pastors, not just the deacons, not just the people that are on the praise team. No, he has set each one of them into the body, just how he pleased. Either we trust that God knows best, or we don't trust him at all. Either we trust, oh, you gave me that gifting because you want me to use it, or we say, I don't really believe that I'm called. I don't really believe that I'm gifted. Listen, God does not leave anyone empty when it comes to talent, ability, purpose, and destiny. So when we refuse to accept that we're gifted, we're called, and we're chosen for a purpose, we're rejecting his will. Because where it says, in the body just as he pleased, that word pleased means will. Just as was his will. Yeah. So when we reject where he's placed us, what he's called us to do, we're saying, I reject your will for my life. I reject your will for this community. And as Paul is communicating this message to the Corinthians, he begins to give us an analogy of anatomy. He says, should the foot say, since I'm not a hand, I don't really belong to the body? Should the eye say, you know, because, I'm sorry, should the ear say, you know, because I'm not an eye, I don't really belong? But then he goes on to say, listen, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were the hand, how would we walk? But God has placed these members individually where he wants them to be. And you need to become okay with going, I'm okay with being an eye. I'm okay with being a foot. Because we're better when we are in the place that we are the most gifted and called to be. Each part has its own necessity. Basically, he's saying, you aren't excused from being useful just because you're not something. You can't, the eye can't say, well, I'm not an ear, so I guess I'm not needed. No, you are, because you're needed to see. The foot can't say, well, I guess since I'm not a hand, I'm not needed. No, you are needed. You have purpose. And as God has gifted you and given you things, you should use them. Not to draw attention to yourself, but to edify others. Sometimes we think we aren't gifted because we're a foot trying to be a hand. Yeah. A foot would be a terrible hand. Yeah. Could you imagine if at the end of your arms you had feet? You'd be a useless person, right? I mean, you would just be a freak of nature, right? Like, I've got feet for hands, right? And you would probably spend your entire life thinking that you were useless. And we have hundreds of people, thousands of people in the body of Christ at large that think they're useless because they're feet that are trying to be used as hands. Yeah. And they haven't understood, I have a place. Yeah. I have a purpose. I have a calling. I have abilities. I have giftings inside of me. So here's what I want to say to you today. Is it may take some time to find your place, but don't stop till you do.
Right.
Sometimes we try something and we fail and we go, well, I guess I'm not gifted. No, it just means you're not gifted there. We have tons of people that think, I wish I were an eye. I wish I were a hand. No, if you would find out who you are, you would be happy, fulfilled, joyful, blessed. Maybe you feel unnecessary because you haven't found your place yet. Listen to what verse 22 says. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. You may think, well, I'm not this, I'm not that. No, maybe you feel unnecessary simply because you haven't found your place. You know why a lot of people quit church? It's not because they stop believing in God. It's not always because people do them wrong, because you get done wrong a lot of other places and keep going there. Right? Somebody gave you a bad haircut. You didn't stop getting your haircut. You may go to a new salon or a new barber shop, but you don't go, you know what? That's it on haircuts for me. I'm just going to let it go. Right? Right? Somebody messes up the way that they do your tires and you think, well, I guess I just won't get tires on my car anymore. I'll give up on mechanics completely. No, a lot of times though, when it comes to church, people quit church not because so they got hurt, not because they don't believe in God. You know why? Because they never found the place where they fit and they belong. Because when you find your place and you know, this is where I belong, this is what I'm called to do, even when someone hurts you, you realize they were operating out of hurt themselves when they hurt me. That's not God. That's not the church. That was somebody made a mistake. That was somebody else was hurt. But a lot of times the reason people aren't faithful in the body of Christ is because they don't feel like they belong. But in the body of Christ, there's no big eyes. There's no little use. Listen, just because I'm the pastor, it doesn't make me more valuable to this community of believers. And I truly believe that. I don't think that because I stand on a platform and I have a microphone and I have pastor in front of my name, it makes me more important than you. It just means my job is different.
Yeah.
It just means I have a different responsibility. I'm not better than you. I'm not worse than you. I don't feel superior or inferior. I believe that we all just need to find, what is my calling? What is my purpose? In fact, this bothers me so bad. We have developed this culture, and I love honor. I'm all for honor. But we've developed this culture in America that pastors are superior. Pastors are not superior. Men of God, women of God, are not any better than you. They are humans just like you are. They just have a different responsibility. Should we show honor? Yes. Who should we show honor to? Everybody. Everybody. I don't demand any special treatment because I park in the back. Because I pastor this church, but you know what happens is the reason that more honor is given is because the pastor is sometimes, not in this church, but sometimes is the only one that's taking any responsibility for the body. And it's hard to understand that you have a place when you're not operating in responsibility in the gifting God's given you. So we want you for who you are, but we need you for what you can contribute. When everyone does their part, guess what? We're more effective in helping people know Jesus.
Yeah.
In DeKalb County, in Fort Payne, in Rainesville, in Valley Head, in Crossville, in all these Sylvania, everywhere that God has given us, and even beyond that, if we want to be more effective in winning people for Jesus, it can't just be 20% of people doing 80% of the work. We have got to realize I'm part of a larger body. And my position, my place, I can be a part of the church and not even have to do anything in the church. It's okay to just come and get filled up so that when you go out, but you have to understand, if God has called you to play a part, then you've got to do that part and not try to be something that you aren't. And I want to give you an analogy of this. As I said earlier, some people live their entire life thinking they're useless. And they think that I don't have a special gifting. I don't have a special ability. And a lot of times we look at church or we look at the kingdom of God and we see that there's things that need to be done, right? And so we think, well, the pastor is the one that needs to get it done, right? He needs to preach the word. He needs to do all this stuff. And so the pastor, let's say for analogy's sake, that the thing in the church that needs to get done is this screw being driven into this board, okay? Well, the pastor, he's the drill, right? And everybody looks at the drill. Oh, man, the drill. We can't do it without the drill, right? But then the pastor can't drill it in because he's just a drill, right? He makes noise. Everybody sees him. He's got light shining. But you know what he needs? He needs a drill bit. So much smaller. Seems insignificant. But how many of you gentlemen, maybe some of you ladies too, have tried to do a job and you didn't have the right drill bit for the job? It's frustrating, right? But when you get that drill bit and it locks into place, now the drill becomes more effective, right? Now we all want to talk, well, I need a drill. No, you need a drill and you need a drill bit. You know what else you need? You need a battery. There's many different things. But still, some of us are drill bits. And there's still a job that needs to be done. And we're like, why can't I make a difference? I'm trying. It's because you're a certain kind of drill bit. And if you would use it where it's needed, you would become more effective. And the job would get done. And realize there's drill bits that are effective for different things. And so I might be a drill bit that I'm effective in praise and worship, but I'm not as effective somewhere else. Maybe you want to be a praise and worship leader, but you have just a really bad voice. It's okay. Sing to the babies in the back. They don't care as much. So you come over here, and you fit in this one, and you're effective there. And the job gets done because we had what we needed to get it done. So often, all we look at is the big thing, yeah. Right? And that's why Paul's saying the parts that seem to be weaker are more necessary. Because guess what? A Phillips head can drive a screw without a drill, but a drill cannot drive a Phillips head without a bit. Because I could take this and I could stick it into just something that has a handle on it and still get it in there. It might take me longer, but it would still get there. And so what we have to realize is we think we're ineffective because we're just in the wrong place. Yeah. If you're ineffective, it's simply because you're in the wrong place. And God has a place. It doesn't mean that there's not a place for you. It means maybe you just haven't found that place yet. Yeah. So my message to you today is this. There's no insignificant parts of the body of Christ. Being a drill bit doesn't make you less needed than the drill. Being a drill doesn't make you less needed. Because even in drills, there's different types of drills. And one drill is needed for this and one drill. You may wonder, why do they have guest ministers come in? Because I don't think that I can serve every purpose that you need. Sometimes you need a different kind of drill. You need a hammer drill. Or you need an impact driver, or you need, you know, a little finishing, you know, drill. There's so many different applications, and that's the beauty of the body of Christ, is when we accept people because, you know, for years all we had was drills, and then they came out with impact drivers. And did that change the game, or did that change the game? Some of you guys are shaking your head. Some of you are like, I have no clue what you're talking about, right? Like, I have no clue. Listen, there's drills and there's impact drivers. And for years, all we had was drills. And when impact drivers came out, it took a while for people to grab onto them. But there's some jobs that this is so much more effective for doing than just a regular old drill. And that's why we need each other. You may be a drill bit. You may be a drill. You may be a hammer. Guess what? There's some jobs that a drill can't do. Only a hammer can do. There's some jobs that a hammer can't do it. You need a nail gun, right? And so as we embrace our individuality and understand there's nobody that's more significant than somebody else, what matters more than anything? What is the most important thing? That the job gets done. Yeah. That's the most important thing. Not how did it get done, but that it gets done. Not who got the glory for it, Who? Oh, man, that drill. He is just such an awesome drill. No, the main point is, did the job get done? Did people get saved? Are people growing in their knowledge of God? Are marriages getting restored? Are children being taught and instructed the word of God? Is hospitality being extended? Is grace being taught? Are all these things happening? And it takes all of us to be able to do that. In fact, today, Brandon helped me set all this stuff up. I didn't have time to do it all on my own. We need each other in order to be effective. So you may not have found your place yet. That doesn't mean you don't have one. Maybe you are the wrong drill bit with the wrong screw head. And you're trying and you're trying and you're like, why am I frustrated? There's nothing more frustrating than a stripped out screw. And we got a lot of stripped out screws in the church. Why? Because people have been using the wrong drill head to try to get the screw in there. And it hurts people. It destroys destinies. It makes a mess. It makes it take longer. Instead of people being humble enough to say, you know what, maybe I'm not the right one for this job. Maybe there's something, is there another way that I could be more effective? Is there somewhere else that I could better serve Jesus and better advance the kingdom? Because if it's not here, that's okay. I don't have to be on the stage. In fact, I pray all the time, God, if you can use me better not doing what I do, I'm okay with that. I don't want to get into this mindset that I've always got to be the one to talk. I've got to be the one to sing. If I'm just being honest with y'all, this would not be my favorite. I don't like attention. I don't like everybody looking at me. And I told Madison one day, I was like, it's amazing that my job consists of everyone looking at me. Because this is not, some people, they're just like, our son Bethel, he loves the spotlight. That's okay. God created him that way. He always wants to show everybody songs and dances and things he made up. He loves people to watch him. That's not me. I'm not like that. But for some reason, God said, this is the application that I need you in. And maybe you are trying to do what you want to do instead of letting God show you what he created you to do. And so you'll live frustrated and unfulfilled as long as you're trying to do, as long as you are not doing what God created you to do. So here's what I want you to get today. God's building something in our community. He's doing something in our body. He's doing something in our midst. Maybe you're a drill. Maybe you're a bit. Maybe you're the board. Maybe you are the screw. I don't know what you are. But everybody has it. Because, you know, here's the other thing is the drill gets all the, and the bit now get all the, oh man, that's amazing. But guess what? When it goes away, if you were to build something, the screw was actually as necessary. And this is what Paul's saying. We don't understand this. Why would he say the weaker parts are more necessary? Because this seems to be the strong part. But when it's all said and done and you walk away from what you built, it's the screw that no one can see that's actually holding everything together. So it seems weaker, but it's actually more necessary. Why is it more necessary? Because you could use any application to get the screw there, but what matters is the screw got there. And it's the most necessary. And so you may say, man, working in the nursery just seems like, I don't know, I just don't feel useful in the nursery. Think about this. What if all the children were in here right now? I'm not against that. I love kids. Obviously, I've got 5 of them. Well, let me rephrase that. I love my children, okay? Y'all's are okay sometimes, but mine, I love my children. But imagine, even mine, I told y'all last week, I'm praying for Zoe. That girl needs salvation, okay? She needs help from the Lord. If y'all have any extra time in your prayer time, okay, spend it on Zoe. Okay, I'm begging you. I'm asking you. She needs it. Don't worry. We're praying for her too. We just need, you know, we need extra that push to get us over the hill with that girl. I don't know what I'm gonna do with her, but keep loving her. She's wanted and she's needed. No, I'm just kidding. I love her to death. She's amazing. But if all of the children were in here, you wouldn't have heard everything I said today. Even if you're not a parent, if a parent was sitting next to you and their kid's asking for more goldfish, or they spilled their cup, you'd be like, you just can't help human nature to turn and look and listen, even if it's like smiling, oh, they're so cute, they make a big mess, that's so cute, I'm glad I don't have to do that anymore. No matter what it is, something would have stolen your attention from what God was trying to say to you today. And so the parts that seem to be weaker, oh, they're not preaching, they didn't study, they didn't get a word or revelation from God. No, but they made a way so that you could hear it today because they're willing to work in the nursery or work in the children's ministry. And so you're getting fed the word because somebody said, I'll do what nobody else wants to do. I'll wipe a baby's bottom. I'll hold them when they're crying. I'll teach them a little lesson about how God loves them and he has a plan for them. Isn't it amazing that here we are, some of us 20, 30, 40, 60 years later, still needing to hear God has a lesson, God has a plan, God has a purpose for us, because we need to know we're wanted and we're needed in the body of Christ. So when it all comes together, when everybody plays their part, something beautiful, something beneficial is built and takes place. But listen to me on this. If God didn't want you, he wouldn't have made you. He didn't make anything that he doesn't want. He created you because he wants you. You're here. So don't listen to the lie. You're not wanted. You're not needed. You are wanted and you are needed in the body of Christ. Amen. Stand to your feet with me today. What I want to do today is I want to pray that God would tear down the lies of the enemy that have been speaking to you, saying they only want you for what you can do. They don't really want you for who you are. You're not really needed. You don't have abilities. You don't have giftings. I'm praying today that all that would be gone and that we would have 100% of people saying, God, am I a foot? Am I a hand? Am I an eye? Am I a drill? Am I a bit? Am I a screw? And listen, you don't just need one bit. You need a bunch of different bits. You can use the same drill in different bits and it still be an effective form of getting the job done. But the important thing is that we know our part and we do our part. So would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? Father, I pray against the lies that the enemy has placed and has spoken to us, even the lies that have come from in our own heart and our own mind that are based on inferiority or insecurity, I rebuke them in Jesus' name. I thank you that in the fear of the Lord, there's strong confidence. Lord, I thank you that every part plays an important role. And even though we may feel like a bit that's stuck in the back of the drawer, there's going to be one day when that specific tool is needed in order to get the job done. God, let us be ready. Let us be willing. God, I pray that you would break down the inferiority and the insecurity and that we would be okay with saying, this is who God created me to be. And I'm going to be used for his glory, for his honor, because I'm not doing it for Pastor Spencer. I'm not doing it for the leadership team. I'm not even doing it for the well. I'm doing this for God. And I'm doing it so that other people can come to know him. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to have the realization and the understanding of the importance of being who you called us to be. And, Lord, I pray for the one that's struggling with feeling wanted. I thank you that you constructed this entire day to let them know you're wanted for who you are. You may feel different than everybody else. Guess what? That's a good thing, not a bad thing. You may feel, why do I have a drawing here, but I haven't connected yet. Lord, I pray that there would be the connection today. I pray that we would all do what you have called us to do, be who you've called us to be, accept one another for who you created us to be, and that we would be effective in winning DeKalb County and the surrounding regions with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we want this to be a house where people are healed, people are saved, lives are changed. But God, that can't happen if we're not all who you called us to be. And so do what only you can do, God. Lord, I pray that you would, strengthen the weak. Hold up the one that is teetering and just barely hanging on. Lord, help us to surround those that are struggling today. And I just pray that you would help us to be effective, that the weaker parts would not give up, but they would realize they're more necessary. Help us to work together to make a difference in your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance upon you, keep you in his peace. May he smile all over you, and may you understand you're wanted, you're needed in the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen.